experience.
I believe that that's our experience tonight. That we'd rather have Jesus than anything. To get on with the Word of God, this is found in the St. John, the 6th chapter, and the 42nd verse. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven?"
Right.
Here was Jesus walking along and done doing all of these miracles along the time. And as he began to preach to them in the St. John, in the book of St. John, and began to tell them of who he was, they immediately classed him as the son of Joseph. And we know his mother and we know his father. But he says, "I came down from heaven."
Yes.
But as he talked to the woman at the well, the woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things."
Yes.
Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he."
Yes.
It was hard for the people to realize along at that time that this was the Son of God, that Jesus was a man that the prophets had talked about all down through the ages. And if we would turn over unto the 8th chapter of St. John and the 58th verse, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." So God and Jesus has been from the beginning. And so we can't learn Jesus in the depths of the ocean that men are seeking for today. Or they can't learn him into the elements, into the outer space. Or you can't learn him in a microscope, into a laboratory, or anything like that. But tonight we're glad that we learned him through the precious Word of God. And as he began to say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of God is from the beginning. And when God looked out, he says, "Let us make man." God, Jesus, was with God from the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And no matter how much the world tries to fathom out the understanding of Jesus and of his wonderful gift to the children of men, and to know how everything works, it won't be sought out. But this Jesus tonight fixed it so that a man, no matter from what source that he come from, no matter what his condition in life was, no matter what state or position he is in, that he could get hold of something that would give him life and immortality. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. What kind of light do we have to have tonight? We have to have that light from the lighthouse shining into our hearts to lighten the hearts of men and women, to loose the heavy burden, and to let the press go free. He anoints us with the oil of joy for mourning, takes away the spirit of heaviness, and because that the redeemed of the Lord say so, then shall the redeemed of the Lord return to Zion with everlasting joy, and sorrow and sighing has fled away. Why? Because the highway shall be there, and it shall be called a way, and is the way of holiness tonight. And he was the light of the light of men, and the light shineth in brightness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Oh, he fixed it so plain, the fool, the wayfaring man may not hear therein. It won't be by might or by power, but it'll be by my Spirit, saith the Lord God. So he looked out and he sent his Son into the world before Abraham was, I am. Well, we've been trusted in the Lord. We've been trusted in Abraham. But he says, if you were the children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But you are of your father the devil, because he sent him from the beginning. But I am sent from God. I'm sent to bear, to tell the world that in me is life. And then beside me, there is no other. I like him tonight. I know him more than Joseph's son. I know him more than Mary's son. We know him because he is the Son of the living God. That's what he is tonight, the Son of the living God. I'm soon as I didn't hear him. And in light, and there with them, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own. He was born because sent down from the tribe of Abraham. sure is good. I put it over here and I can take it in my hand and I can take it to bed with me and I can get up with me and I can walk around with me. Not this sacrament, but the sacrament of the precious Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father who was full of what? Who was full of grace and truth. For you are saved through faith. By grace that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So that's the ways that we're saved tonight. Full of grace and truth. Now, there was a man that was just 6 months older than God than Jesus was, and his name was John. Now, he was sent to bear witness of that light, but John was not that light. Now, all the old prophets and everybody before him was not that light, but they bear witness of that light, and they talked about him. But old Isaiah says that his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, and he shall be a commander. And what did he say? He didn't go behind the people, but he would go before them. That's what Jesus does. He goes before them to make the high places and bring them down, to bring up the low places. And there won't be a smell of fire and smoke upon you when you come to a place that you can't get across. Jesus will be there. He's our commander and he's our leader. It's because we have crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where he is tonight. And so, John, I was reading over that the other day, and you all can go ahead and read it, about Elizabeth and Mary. They were two good sisters, weren't they? They were cousins, you know. But Elizabeth got a little bit ahead of her, you know. 6 months ahead of her. And so you went all over there, you know. When Mary went in there and they began to preach. And old John the Baptist began to shout. That was a time there, wasn't it? And he said over there, oh, Elizabeth said, here comes the handmaid of my Lord. Oh, she knew there was going to come another baby. You know how people are about their children. They think that's the prettiest baby they ever did see. But Elizabeth didn't feel that way. No, she knew there was going to come another little boy that was going to do greater than her boy was. Going to give way to him. And that was that little boy, Jesus. You know she loved John. And he says here, and of his grand, John bear witness, that cometh one after me, who is before me. For he was before me. Sure he was before him. He was from the beginning. He was with God the Father. But you know, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. What for? That we might receive the Spirit of adoption. Sanctified people are free. I can't call God my Father until I got the witness of the Spirit of God unto my heart. And when I got it, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, if that Spirit dwells in you, what's it going to do for you?
Thank you a lot.
What's it going to do for you? Quicken your mortal body. And then what does it do? It'll make you an heir. This is the 8th chapter of Romans. You Bible reader know it. It'll make you an heir and join heir with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good place to be in life? Why? Because this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is real tonight. And he's here, and we class him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we want to say that all that was written of him and all that he had to perform. If you don't think so, when the world don't think so, when he walked along there with those two after he rose from the dead, what did he tell them? What did he tell them? Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. And that's how you understand the Scriptures. It's through Jesus. And so then of his grace and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. That's correct. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him unto him. And this is the record that John bare. He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm going to skip on down here trying to get all this in a short time. You know, you're sort of trying to compact all this thing together here. And he says, He it is who's coming after me, is before me, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to unloose. Anyway, you come along there, and John said he knew him not, except the man that see the Spirit descending like a dove, he is the one. And so when he saw descending on him, the same as he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And so then as he walked along there, there's two disciples that come along there. He findeth his own brother after he had saw Christ and after he had witnessed these things and saw what was happening. He run over and told his brother. He said he first findeth his own brother Simon. Well, that's only natural, and to go tell your people that you found something. And said to him, we have found the Messiah. Don't that sound good? We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. The world didn't want to receive it. They didn't want to obey it. And they still don't want to receive it. But he said to him, and Jesus said unto him, thou art Simon, and hereafter thou art Simon the son of Jonas, and thou shalt be called Cephas. Then old Philip, when he findeth Nathanael, he said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and of the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And old Nathanael still doubted a little bit. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And when Jesus saw him coming, he said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, how knowest thou? Before that Philip called thee, then I knew thee. And verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. You know what? This witness is not given out to everybody. But those disciples saw the Son of Heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We're not getting the day of Pentecost, but they had something happen there, didn't they? And as Bobby read about Stephen, he saw something, didn't he? I'll tell you, you have to get into the witness of the Spirit of God to get a hold of this understanding that God has given. Jesus come along in St. John, and he saw as he went along, he come by a well. And that was a woman there, which is all familiar to you all know. And she asked him, and he said unto her, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, which is a Jew? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee the living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Now this is Jacob's well that Jacob had established and willed down to the people through the time and to his children. Then from whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereon himself and the children? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Now this is Jesus. This is what he done. This is what he was going to do. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet, but because he hadn't been glorified. But he's going to cause something to happen around that country that they never heard before. There was going to be a shaking. There was going to be a getting together. There was something going to happen. People was going to get a hold of the Spirit of God. And people was going to be able to drink of that living fountain, of that water that was springing up into everlasting life. That's what he fixed it for. And so then he talked to her a little bit and told her all the things that she did. And she was amazed at all these things that he told her. And he says, our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and now the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, according to tradition, they were following the time on down. They had a certain city they had to go to every year to bring their sacrifices and to make their offerings. And Jesus comes along to her and says, well, neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem, but you're going to worship the Father. Well, how are you going to do it? Everybody in every place. Now, we're all not in the same crowd. We're miles and miles away. But when our Monday night meeting comes and our Wednesday night meeting comes and our Friday night meeting comes, the Lord walks down, work comes down, and each body of people at the same time and fills our hearts with the Holy Ghost. I don't know, you may have a big time on the same soil we are. But he fixes, he said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper, is going to fix it so people could worship him in a true way. He was going to get rid of false ways. He was going to get rid of symbols, symbolic, the ceremony law, the Passover, the killing of the lamb, and all the different days and all the different things. Why then, when we get in Jesus, we got the year of Jubilee. When we get in Jesus, we got the atonement. We got the day of harvest. We got all these feasts. That's why Jesus fixed it. Now all the world has to represent these times at a certain time. That's right. You have to do things if you haven't got Jesus. You have to take signs. You have to take symbols. You have to take something that'll sort of satisfy your conscience. But I'm telling you, when you get this man that we're talking about here, all forms and all shadows are passed away, and true substance is revealed. I thank God. And there's no medium between us but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's our mediator. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. How? Well, I'll tell you right now, if this ain't the Holy Ghost, I don't know. That's the way I feel. Father shall worship the Father. How am I going to do it? Right here, down in Perry, Georgia, in 1966. Is the Lord dead?
No, he's not dead.
Oh, he's very much alive, isn't it? My Bible says the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, that's the one God's hearing, the true worshipers, shall worship the Father with in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. No wonder he's going to bless us. If we worship the Father in spirit and in truth and bring forth fruits of righteousness, he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there won't be room to receive. And God's going to look for that soul. He's going to look for that soul that wakes up in the midnight hour and starts reading this word. He's going to reward you for it. He's going to reward you for it. And when you come out to church, you'll come out there chock full. I guarantee you that. When you get worshiping the Father and searching out the word of God, and your mind gets meditating on the good word of God, you come out to church in good shape. You come out like Uncle Billy Chandler will. I come out to preach, to testify, to sing, to shout, to do anything. Bless the Lord. I'll tell you, the Father seeks such to worship him, they that worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way God will do it. That's the only way that God will do it. For why? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, after all of this good preaching and good talking, the woman says, well, I know when the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he's going to tell us all things. Didn't even seem like she heard it, did she? Didn't even seem like she heard it. Well, when he's come, I'm going to do this. Have you heard people say, well, someday when this life is over and all of these things are done, I'm going to get that crown. I'm going to do this. It's always in the future. But the time is. Now it is. If you don't get it tonight, this will be one night that you missed of your life. If you miss it tonight, you'll never be able to call this night back. Because now is the true worshiper. She didn't understand it. But Jesus said unto her, woman, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one that's going to give you the living waters of life, flowing up and springing up into everlasting life. Oh my, isn't that sweet? I'll hurry along here trying to keep this. I'll tell you, I'm preaching in the book of St. John. And this is real good here. I'm not going to get it all. I'll just tell you all about him. But anyhow, we come along here in the ninth chapter. We'll do a little skipping along here. And so we find a man here that was born blind from his birth. And so then, the disciples asked the Lord, well, who did sin, this man or his parents? He said, neither one. Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. And I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, but night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world now, I am the light of the world. And if I went over back to the 17th chapter of St. John, he says, now you are the light of the world. Now I pray not that I should take you out of the world. But what's he going to do? What was he going to do?
Keep us from evil.
That's right.
that Jesus is greater than the enemy of your soul.
Yes,
that's
right.
Is that right? That's what he come for. He is greater than the enemy of our soul. So then, I'm going to preach what Jesus says over here then. And he come along here, and he anointed this man's eyes, and he went and washed in the pool of Siloam. And as he washed, he came back seeing.
That's right.
You know he felt good.
Yeah.
And so then as he come back, why, you know, Jesus done everything mostly on the Sabbath day. Now, he didn't have to do it on the Sabbath day, but according to the law, they weren't supposed to do anything. But everything he done offended them. Everything that Jesus done offended
right.
the people.
Yeah.
It offended them.
Yeah.
They could do many things.
Right.
And here he come along here, and he healed this man. And when they come and asked him, he says, "Is not this a man?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And when he went and washed, I received my sight." And so then they began to say, "Well, if we let this man go, everybody's going to believe on him. Everybody's going to believe on him." And so then he asked his parents about it. And the parents said, "Well, he's of age," asked him. The reason they were afraid to is because they would be put out of the synagogue because they love the praises of God, praises of men, more than the praises of God. They were afraid to say what had happened.
Right.
Oh, my, it looks like they would say, "Well, my son can see." You know, it looks that way. But anyhow, that's the way that it is. And so he went along here, and he asked the man again. He says, "Well, I told you once, will you also believe?" So that started offending him a little bit. But he come along here, and as he says, they answered and said unto him, "Thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They put him out.
Yeah.
Jesus heard
that
they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?"
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him."
That's right.
"And it is he that talketh with thee."
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty?
That's right.
"You've seen him. Here I am right here. And it's me that talketh unto you."
That's right.
"I'm the man that calls you to see."
Right.
"Not that it's any honor of my own, but it's the honor and then the glory of God."
Right.
"That man might see that I've got power to forgive sins on earth."
Yeah.
"That I can do all of these things. I come from the Father. I'm going back to the Father."
Yeah.
"And I'm doing the will of my Father."
Yeah.
"And it is he that speaketh unto thee."
Right.
"For judgment I am coming to this world."
Yeah.
"That they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." All of these were the commandments of God. He jumps over to the 10th chapter of St. John, and now he starts to winding up some good more things, and he says, "I am the shepherd, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." No more do you have to say green pastures all over on the other side of the fence. But when you come to him, you shall go in and out, and you shall find pasture. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. So the Father sent him into the world for that purpose. He come along and he had two sisters and a brother that he loved very dearly.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
Yeah.
And you know, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus,
yeah,
and how that she had anointed him with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And but as Lazarus was sick, and so then Jesus, this was for the power of God. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And so he tarried a little bit. He could have gone on the first day, but he tarried a couple days. He knew Lazarus was going to die. He knew it. He could have gone right on right then because he was working the power of God. And so when Martha saw him, he said, "If you had been here, then my brother had not died." And I got one thought out of that as I read that the other day. If people had let the Lord stay there, they would not have died, would they?
Yeah.
If the Lord had continued with them, if they had kept the Lord as the apple of your eye, if you keep him uppermost in your heart and life, then you won't die, will you? And so it went on along here, and she says, "Thy brother shall rise again." And he said, "I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus, these are really familiar words with all of us. And through the years, It really means more when we stop to think on what these few verses are. We're all travelers to eternity tonight. We don't know who will be back here next year. We don't know who will be next.
That's right.
But in reading the Word of God and in this gospel that we preach,
that's right,
we don't have to worry about death.
No, we don't.
Death has lost its sting.
That's right.
Grave has lost its victory there, because it's swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
This mortal body of ours that we possess here is only lent to us for the time that we're upon the earth to glorify God.
Right.
As a hymn I've heard, it says, my hands were made to praise God, my feet were made to praise God, or however it goes, and my tongue is made that we might glorify God.
That's right.
And God gives it to us that we might use it to His glory.
Yeah.
But however, when we stop from this stage of action in this life, when the time comes for you and us to go, there's nobody, no brother, can by no means redeem his brother. There's no way we can stop it. It's in God's plan. It was God's order, and he fixed it that way. And when I look at the Scripture and the Word of God and from this great Scripture, I thank God that the sanctified people have found the most wonderful experience in the world.
Yeah.
That when we step from this stage of action, when we lay off this earthly body, we've got a temple not made with hands, but that's eternal in the heavens. And that was made by this man Jesus, because we've got him in this life. And when he prayed the Father in the 17th chapter, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was with the Father. He was with the Father, but he was going to go back to the Father. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. His disciples were of a sad countenance. They didn't understand how he was going to leave them. Yet a little while and you're going. Master, we can't understand this. But don't let your heart be troubled, disciples. I'm going to come again. I've told you that I'm the word of life. I've told you I'm the bread of life. I've told you that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'd have life eternal. Don't worry about that. Don't let your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And I'm going to tell you again, and I am the way. I am the way. And I want to jump back over here, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Do you have Jesus tonight? Everybody that gets Jesus, that gets him into her heart and life, has to have a resurrection. What does that mean? That means a new life. That means a new heart. That means a new way. Old things are passed away. This carnal mind is crucified. Buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should also walk in newness of life. Oh, I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he that immortality, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal right here must put on immortality. Do you know the world is looking for that to come to pass? But I want to tell you on the authority of God's word, on the authority of God's word, that thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think we're free? Whom the Son is made free is free indeed. That's the reason why, as we said before, we don't have to have anything else but just Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament. Oh my, whosoever believeth in this shall never die. His disciples didn't quite understand him. But he says, I'm going to come again. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to come again. And he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more.
That's right.
But ye see me.
That's right.
Because I live, ye shall live also. And so what was he going to do? And I'm going to pray the Father that he may give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't make himself known to everybody, but to witnesses that were chosen. To witnesses that were chosen. Now, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who had done what now? Who had called you from out of darkness into what? Into a marvelous light. Who's got the light? Jesus has got the light. Who was in darkness? We were. Sin was in darkness. But when we were got out of that into this chosen vessel of God, sanctified and meet for the master use, then we inherited this great blessing. And but the Comforter, now listen. Now here's the good part. I want to tell you that this is just as real tonight. And you go ahead and sometimes, and you all have experienced this, get up and start to testify and to preach. If you get the Holy Ghost to working, it'll bring all things to your remembrance. For the Holy Ghost, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So tonight I'm glad that we have Jesus, that we have the resurrection, that in the 14th, that in the Saint, the book of St. John just explains what he does. Though the world still didn't believe it, he came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. I thank God that we have the privilege of serving him and of knowing him, and the privilege of not being entangled with the yoke of bondage or of any medium that would bring us under the elements that would bring us into bondage, that we couldn't use our instruments of righteousness, that we couldn't use these instruments to praise God and the beauty of wholeness, that those things and everything else brings us into bondage. It ties our spiritual life. It ties us from being free. But Jesus said, whom the Son is made free is free indeed. And there is a difference between them that serve God and them that serve them not. And it makes a difference how this scripture is interpreted to get the freedom of God. We have been told probably through the years that if we would probably change our preaching a little bit, that we would get the world, which you all have mentioned about it. But it's one thing I have always been a good example to me. It's one thing about it. The gospel that you all preach brings down the power. Now, I like witness, and that's what does it good. Brings down the power, and I've noticed that some of the others that preach it doesn't have that power. So therefore, these things are witness to us. Let us hold fast to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Pray for me.